thank you for listening to NYPD Blue Balls. This is a commentary episode, so that means we are recording Season 7, Episode 18, Lucky Luciano of NYPD Blue Balls, while watching Season 7, Episode 18 of NYPD Blue. If you need the show itself to watch along with us, it is currently on Hulu and on Amazon Prime. We are watching the Hulu ones while we record. Sometimes the Amazon Prime ones have a commercial before the episode airs. And Amazon Prime seems to have it in the original square format and kind of the original standard definition look, while Hulu has the upscaled high definition look and brings it into a more modern frame. Anyway you watch it, it's the best show ever. That's why we're here. So if you make it through the end of the podcast and listen to the message at the end, I thank you. If you give up here, you know what? That's fine. That's all on you, really. Have a good one. Talk to you at the end. Peace. One, two, three. Go. Hello, everybody, and welcome to NYPD Blue Balls. This is Season 7, Episode 18, Lucky Luciano.
It's Luciano.
It's Luciano?
Lucci. It's Italian. The C.I. Ciano.
Oh, that makes sense. I abbreviated this guy's name to Luch.
Yeah.
You know, everything. This episode starts weird as hell.
Not a lot of people know Susan Lucci's last name is really Luciano.
Yeah, 100% what he said. So this episode starts.
That's not true. Don't fact check me. That's not true. I don't know.
This episode starts like the middle of a story. Like this seems like this scene should be in the middle of the episode, but it's the beginning, which is they find a body in a trunk, and they have the woman who filed a missing person with them. They were driving her home when they got the call, and they find the car and her sister's in the trunk.
We got a body. Ding, 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 ding. Sorry.
Welcome to New York's new game show. We've got a body. We open abandoned vehicles to see if we've got a body. It's also a very short opening. Because now we are already in the credits. And this is NYPD Blue Balls, where I, Kirk, and the other voice, Kyle, talk about every single episode of the best show ever, NYPD Blue.
Well, we'll see really quickly why they needed to make that opening really short, because there's a lot of story they got to tell us.
Yeah, this episode...
There's a lot of riveting story they need to make sure we don't miss out on.
It is true that this episode spends a lot of time on things that we could have gotten very quickly. We could have understood exactly what was going on pretty fast.
Yeah, a little bit. Just a little bit.
It seems like as the episodes go on and the season goes on, it seems like they're spending a lot more time on shit that they would usually just kind of go over and we would fill in the dots ourselves.
That's a nice way of saying it.
So this is the part that would usually be the opening of an episode, where they have a DOA and they go to the house where the apartment where the DOA is, and
is this room too white for you? And I don't mean the people in it.
I was about to say we need some diversity. It's a little white.
And I mean, really, like one beat cop can't be Hispanic, like.
it is a little bright. It's a bright room. So we have Luciano here, who's Italian, in case you couldn't tell. And his wife.
What made you think that?
His accent.
I thought it was the pasta sauce he had on his face.
Holy shit. So he's sitting on a couch with his cousin, who is also lives there. They find out
cousins can live together. Kirk, you're questioning the wrong aspect of this whole thing. But
what is the right aspect to question?
I don't know if there is a right aspect to question, but I mean, cousins can share like an apartment, can't they?
No, not allowed. It's against the law.
Okay.
That's why they're all acting so weird. This is the 90s,
well,
Kyle.
Well, you know what, Kirk, in Italy you can, so.
So here we have Anthony. Anthony is played by Mario Bosco. And Anthony is an interesting character. Basically letting the cops know that Luciano bangs anything that moves. And I don't know how, but this Anthony character
it makes Metaboy look like a bitch.
But yeah, because Anthony says like, "Oh, I'll break my 17-year cherry of seeing their apartment." Which this is the point where I go, "Why are you allowing him in the apartment?"
Well, this makes me go, "Is he 17 years old?"
No, obviously not. The character has to be older.
Why does he have to be older?
Because there's no way that they're going based on the baby age. Like, there's no way.
You don't know.
Based on the way Anthony talks, I don't even think that he could be 17.
Kirk, there's 100% could be a 17-year-old in New York right now who talks and looks exactly like that man.
I don't know. I just got the immediate feeling that this person has some sort of condition that makes them appear young when they're actually a lot older.
1974. What year did this come out? What year is this?
2000. 26.
Okay, you have to do the math. I'm the idiot.
26.
Okay, so he's at least 26.
But what I don't get is you have this character. Like, it's a real question what Anthony's age is. But what I don't get is they let this fucker in. It's a crime scene. And they just let him walk in and walk around because they're, like, confused about the age of the person. Like, I don't get it. Like, wouldn't they still be like, no, you're not allowed in. Obviously.
Are they confused about his age or are they confused about his, like, moxie?
You think it's a moxie problem.
Yeah, like, they're just like, well, he's 17, but he's, like, talking to me like he's, like I'm his bitch.
Yeah, I mean, he's got moxie levels off the charts. So, I love this guy. This guy is the son of the dead
moxie,
woman.
Moxie will get you anywhere in this town, bitch.
This guy is the son of the DOA, and he comes in to be like, look, I was in Terry Down banging two women. I work for a pyramid scheme. I don't have time for this shit. Write it down. I'm leaving. it's just straight up.
He straight up says, my mother was a bitch.
He does. This dude has one scene, and in that one scene, he lets you know, I enjoy group sex. I work for a pyramid scheme. My wife, my mom sucks, and I don't have time to talk to you guys.
And now this is a good way to just remind us that Fancy has a wife.
And it's really hilarious how that guy says the internet is putting multi-tiered marketing to death. And I was like, oh, how wrong you are.
Yeah, it's if anything, the internet has helped you guys.
The dad, Luciano, is like super...
Stepdad.
I thought it was his real dad.
No, I think he says, handyman, she remarried.
Oh, that's right.
I think that's what he said.
You're right. I was too busy talking about how he, like, just casually mentions that he's banging multiple women. It's like, oh, well, I wish I had that kind of moxie. There's a lot of moxie in this episode. A lot of moxie. So, this episode also has another great Sipowitz-ism.
Does it upset you that I use the word you don't know, or does it upset you that I use that word, period?
I'm happy you use the word. I'm elated that the word is now in play.
Here we go. Look at Kirk throwing out big words. Elated.
But when I
never used the word elated in your life.
We have to talk about how Sipowicz apparently hates the fact that this dude is Italian. He then says pain in the balls, midget, which is not a good word.
Okay, what, 100%, what should he have said instead?
Well, little person. Even though I think there's a lot of little folk that are like, I don't really care about the M word. And I'm like, I don't know what to say, but...
Trick question. You could have just said person.
What also is strange...
Because guess what? When it comes to the investigation, this motherfucker's height has nothing to do with it.
It's very true.
So we don't have the... Fancy doesn't need that information.
But now Sipowicz has to take a moment to get on Fancy's dick for not selling him vitamins 6 years ago. And he brings it up again.
Let anyone tell you. Sipowicz is able to let go of a grudge. Like, don't let anyone tell you different, okay? How has Sipowicz... How have we not had him have a heart attack?
I have no idea.
How is that not written in, like, at least once that this dude has a heart attack with how much he stresses out, like...
And freaks out
That's 6 years in the making that he is pissed at Fancy's wife for not selling him fucking vitamins.
And he has to bring it up to this new guy who was in high school when this shit happened.
You think Sipowicz is waking up every morning going, fuck, I'd be taking vitamins today if it wasn't for Fancy and his bitch wife.
Well, no, he forgot. Like, he forgot about
it. Go to the store and get some by now, bro.
He forgot about it until he brought up Vita Wonder, and then he's like, oh, that's the shit you wouldn't fucking sell me. And Fancy's like, yeah, that happened 6 years ago. And he's like, uh-huh, I remember.
Yeah.
And it's like...
Yeah, oh, I remember every detail. It's etched into my skin.
And then here's where Russell and Kirkendall talk about how they were taking a woman giving a missing persons report home when they found her sister's body. And then they casually mention, oh, by the way, it's her twin. And I was like, that's got to be fucked up.
If it was a twin, then shouldn't the other one have known that she was, like, pretty much gone? Don't they have, like, some weird, like, DSP thing?
No, Kyle, they don't.
That's not what I hear.
Turns out twins aren't magical, but little people are. Anyway, moving on. We're joking. We make jokes.
I just want to say, I haven't said anything about anyone's height. I haven't talked about anyone's height. Because I don't think anyone's height means anything in the case of the investigation.
But you did take time to mention that there might have been pasta on the face of the Italian man.
Well, they're Italian. Who gives a shit? Italian. Who gives a shit?
This guy.
Here comes. I think this is actually a pretty good scene. In a weird episode. I think the dude here does a good job of being like whatever character, like I think he does a really good job of being shady and being like giving off a guilty vibe, and I think that's what they're going for.
This guy is Alimi Ballard, Alimi Ballard. He plays Marcus. Okay. I thought I'd saw him in something. It turns out I did. He is in Fast Five.
Okay.
He was also in Deep Impact and the movie Kill Chain, I think, with Nicolas Cage. I didn't see that movie, but I think he was in that as well.
He's in a lot of things. He's just basically, like, he's all over TV.
But you are right. He does a good job as Marcus.
No, yeah, I think he does a really good job of being like a sketchy person who I think in the beginning you're supposed to immediately think that he's giving off a guilty vibe, and I think he does a really good job with it.
Now they're going.
He was on Mazzoli and Isles. Sign me up.
You love yourself some Rizzoli and Isles.
Only Isles, bro.
So this is Luciano's cousin, who they think might be fucking Luciano. And she's doing an okay job. She's played by Amy Aquino or Aquino? Aquino.
Aquino.
Aquino. Who was in Freaks and Geeks.
Yes.
And also Moonstruck.
What?
Moonstruck.
Yes. She's been in a lot of things. She's been a character actress in a lot of things, actually. But yeah, she is Sam Levine's mom in Freaks and Geeks.
She does a good job on that show, too. So, yeah. Essentially, they're going back and forth between Luciano and his cousin because they believe one of them must have murdered the woman, possibly to get the inheritance, because conveniently the woman tore up her will, which would have given the money to her son, right before dying. Which makes no sense to most people. So they assume that it had to involve her husband, who would get the money if the will was destroyed. And they think he's playing dumb using his, I guess, immigrant status? I don't know, like, they think he's being short with them by pretending like he doesn't understand.
Yeah, he has no idea what's going on. He's playing him dumb. Yeah, 100%.
And it's bothering Sipowicz, but I think it's bothering Sipowicz more because he's Italian than just that he's playing dumb.
Which is, like, so weird. If it's true. We'll never know.
Because we're about to see right now, he,
You don't think it could just be because he's... You don't think Sipowicz could be annoyed because they're just getting one over on them?
Well, Sipowicz thinks that he's pretending to be Italian. Maybe he's not racist. Maybe he's upset because he thinks he's pretending to be Italian.
But what?
What's also great, and I want to say this...
Hold on. What is Italian a Chef Boyardee?
Because if you go to IMDb for this episode, what? In the facts, they say that comment isn't very accurate because Chef Boyardee is based on an actual Italian chef. And it's like... Though, so it's kind of perfect, because we find out this character is actually Italian. But Sipowicz thinks he's going to prove that this guy isn't Italian by scaring him on the shitter.
But why... My question to Sipowicz would be, why would he... Why fake being Italian?
He thinks it helps him with the attitude of, like, I don't know what's going on. And then this woman, who is a maid for, I'm guessing, a modeling agency that takes pictures of maids, she says that Luciano was with her when Mary died, so it couldn't have been him.
Is this dude's dick magical or what?
Apparently.
And the Metavoy was in the other stall. That's pretty funny.
And Metavoy is offended about this for the rest of the episode, by the way. Because it comes up at the end of the episode.
Well, wouldn't you be annoyed a little bit?
Yeah, a little bit.
If they're taking the shit, and then all of a sudden, like, Andy is just, like...
banging on the door?
Yeah, and you're supposed to be, like, it's quiet. You think you're in, like... peace? I don't know.
Kyle, is what you're saying that your toilet time is the last bastion of American freedom?
Yeah.
To quote Southmore.
I don't need people all over my shit while I'm shitting.
Literally.
So,
this woman is like, oh, I feel so bad. I gotta talk to my priest. Okay. But I always hate it in shows like this where they're like, oh, I'm just the maid, and I'm like, okay. Then hire a different actress. Like, really?
Oh, you're saying maids can't be hot?
Yeah. If you clean things up, you're ugly. I'm sorry. It's a joke. We're joking. I have to say that. I have to say that about everything now. But what's funny is, like, Sipowicz is like, I'm not convinced that man is Italian. And he has, like, the suspicious eyes. And it's like, dude, come on.
He is fixated on the wrong thing, but it is hilarious.
So they drag all of this shit with Marcus out so long. So long.
Well, they gotta fill the episode, dude.
Like, I think they meet with him like 4 or 5 separate times, and every single time they do, it's basically like, oh, we got an account that you were groping someone at a car wash, and he's like, I wasn't even at a car wash. And they're like, oh, just come in to clear it up. And he's like, okay. It's like, oh, we got the day wrong. So tell us what you were doing 2 days ago, not 3 days ago. And he's like, sure, that's not a problem. I'll write it out. He says, the truth is my protector, which is hilarious.
Is that a Jesus thing?
Well, just because we find out what kind of dude this is later, and you're like, okay, well, maybe you're just a touch of crazy.
So it's not a Jesus thing.
It might be a Jesus thing, Kyle.
Okay. I just think in a sea of mediocrity, he's really good in it.
Oh yeah, he does a great job. This actor. I just think they use him too much. They don't give us a time to like miss him. Because now they
maybe he was just on one, and they were like, let's roll.
You think it was like LL Cool J on Deep Blue Sea? They were just like, he's just so cool. Let's have more scenes.
Yeah, he was just on a heater. Let's keep it going.
He's on a heater.
He's on an acting heater. Let's just keep it going, dude.
I'm pretty sure that's a David Milch original, that phrase. He's on a heater. So they intimidate him by having more detectives in there, and they're men, and Medavoy just takes his sunglasses off of his head. And I think
Baldwin does not have multiple heads, ladies and gentlemen.
And Baldwin actually like set him down. I think like the guy goes to sit up, and Baldwin grabs him and puts him back down,
which is hella scary.
Because Baldwin's huge.
Have you ever in your life been moved very, very politely by a person, man or woman, who obviously could move you if they wanted to or not?
No.
Yeah, you don't seem like the type of person that would get yourself into those types of situations.
No, sir.
I'm not either. Like, I recognize that I am not a big person compared to some people.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. But there have been times where, like, I've been, like...
Physically moved.
I've been, like, at a bar, and let's say things are going on, and I'm not a part of it, but I'm near it, and mm-hmm. someone who's just been bigger than me has politely, like, moved me and said, like, you need to go this way, and I've been like, okay.
Cool.
Yeah, sure. Can I finish this drink? No, you need to move now. Got it. 100%.
You know what? I'm not even thirsty. Mm-hmm. Now that you said it. Don't even want this drink.
Did I just pay like $15 for this? Not even thinking about that.
So here we have Marcus slowly talking himself into saying, what if I theoretically said that I didn't rape her because she was already dead?
But then he said, what if I didn't do that?
Yeah.
He goes, what if I didn't do the murder or the sex, though?
No, he's saying, right now he's saying, what if I saw the murder, but then I was high, so I just had sex with a dead body? What's that?
Better.
And then they're like, well, no, because he says, maybe I didn't do that. Maybe I just saw it and didn't come forward. And then they're like, well, what if we find your semen? And he's like, oh, I'm going to need some time to think. Going to need some more time. Mull over what you just said. So here we have Sipowicz and Sorensen with Fancy, and he's kind of just and Sipowicz is just huffing and puffing, still upset that
pacing back and forth.
And they think, well, he's upset because the Italian dude Luciano admitted, he's like, I must have killed my wife. I'm the only one that gains anything. And then the Mary comes in to be like, he was with me, boning me. So I think he's upset because he's thinking, Luciano just set up his cousin to murder his wife so that he gets the money, he gets rid of his cousin, and then he gets to bang the maid somewhere with money. So what I find...
the other thing is Andy doesn't respect this guy. Doesn't think he's that smart, but then thinks he planned this whole thing.
Well, I think he's more upset that he's getting not taken advantage of, but he's being like beaten by the guy. The guy's getting won over on him, and
I think that's the bigger issue.
Also, could you turn your thing down? I could still hear it.
Shit.
Sorry. But what's also hilarious is they have to mention now every time that the cousin's ugly. Now every time they bring up the cousin, they're like, the homely cousin, the gross cousin, the fugly cousin, the cousin no one would want to bang, the gross cousin. And then they're like, and then they just call the other woman the maid. And I'm like, well, that's interesting.
Well, they don't have names. They are just objects, dude.
Holy shit. And it's just frustrating because the cousin seems like she's just trying to work it out to where she gets to be with Luciano. Once again, her cousin, to still bang him because they're banging cousins. And she's trying to pin it on like the maid, saying that she just came in with the story to get him off of the murder so that she could end up with him.
I mean, I mean, she's old enough, like, maybe she's just like, who gives a shit? I don't know, dude. I really don't know what to say about this one.
Well, it's clearly... I love that scene because Sipowicz basically lays it out that, okay, Luciano tricked you into murdering his wife, and now he's going to get off because he boned himself an alibi. But he's leaving enough holes so that you get taken down for this and he gets away with the money. If he set all this up, then he can go down too. And she's like, no. And she like does like a hand gesture with the no. She's like, no. And Sipowicz looks at her and goes, no, huh? With like a funny smile. And it's like, what are we doing here? Like, it's such a weird acted scene.
It's such a weird reaction. It's such a weird reaction to, like... Well, I mean, also, like, she is finding out, like, pretty life-changing news.
And she's also deluded enough to think, like, oh, Luciano still wants to bang and be with me with all the money.
Yeah.
And they're like, these two are now just like, how are we going to get this dude to admit to a conspiracy? And then this guy calls him the big noisy man and is like basically taking him apart with humor and shit. Oh my god. And then Sipowicz,
that was like when people used to like try to like joke with Ness and they didn't know him. Oh, this is the best. Like, or when people try to joke with Dad and they don't know him.
Yeah, he's like, what is this guy talking to me for? But what is it?
How's my day?
But this is
this guy asking me how my day is. He doesn't know who I am.
So, and this is great because Sipowicz is like, do you know what conspiracy is? And the guy's pretending like he doesn't know the word conspiracy. And
And Sipwiz is getting frustrated because, well, they both are, because they think the guy is pretending to be dumb.
What do you think?
Oh, I think he's Italian, straight up, but I think he is pretending to be dumb. Because he knows that if he's with this person, then he couldn't have done it, and he knows that the other person, he knows that his cousin did it.
Yeah.
I do think that he's playing up his ignorance, and that's what's pissing them off so much.
Yeah, I think it's that Andy can't get the best of him.
And
did you know her name was Anna?
I did. I wrote it down several times, but I just kept loving how they were like, yeah, this ugly cousin, this homely cousin. It's like, what the fuck did she do besides murder a woman? And then she admits that he was like constantly going back and forth, like, I'm gonna kill her, I'm gonna kill her, I'm gonna kill her, and then he's like, no, I'm not gonna do it, I'm not gonna do it, and then he's like, oh, please don't do it, please don't do it, it'd make my life so much easier, but please don't. And it's like, that's basically a conspiracy. That's emotional manipulation. But she won't agree that he was trying to get her to do it.
This is another small scene where I think she does a really good job, like, with her little monologue, trying to be him and tell the story and stuff. I think this is actually really good.
She does do a good job conveying an entire story of how and what happened.
Yeah.
But what pisses off Sipwiz is like, why don't you just lie and say he told you to do it so that he goes to prison? And she's like, nope, because I'll go to prison, and then when I get out, he's gonna wanna bang me. And you're like, what planet do you live on, woman?
Also, does she think, like, she's really gonna get out in time?
You mean before he dies?
Before she dies, like, I'm assuming, conservatively and being nice here, she's in her 40s.
Oh, what are you talking about? I'd say she's a crisp 23.
fuck you. Fuck you. Crisp like a new bill.
Crisp as in crispy. But no, she like, it's also just frustrating because she, like, he'll be over this fling and he'll be ready to be with me. And it's like, why can't they just go, bitch, think about what you're saying.
Yeah. You're like, what are you doing? Like, let's take a minute here.
So Baldwin is with this guy who's pissing. And he's like, theoretically,
I love when that happens.
Theoretically, like, let's say I have a crack problem. Can I get off of murder and rape?
Oh, man.
And then and basically, what if the murder is accidental and I didn't rape her because she was already dead? And it's like, what is happening in your brain, Marcus? That'd be a fun thing to take a day trip.
This would be a good example of, like, someone working something out loud when they should work it out
in their mind. and they're working it out with another person.
Yeah, a cop.
In theory, is it a crime to have sex with a dead body? Is it? It's a little gross, but what if you're on crack?
No one's asking if it's gross or not. I'm asking, is it a crack?
And then he's like, I'll convince these four detectives that I had an outer body experience. And
yeah, this is where, so like, this is like, like 75% of this race has been like really cool and like you've done really well, and then right here it's like weird.
Wait, you said race?
Yeah, like it's like if you look at like when they started this like race of this story, right?
Oh, like a metaphor.
Like
okay.
The pace of it, everything's like going well. Like the story's like even though they bring him in, like the murder has already happened. We're brought in with the murder already happening, and then they go and pick him up. Blah blah blah. Then this monologue part is like really weird. Like,
because yeah, he mentions that he loves Julia Roberts movies,
which is fine. Like.
And says that he's an eyewitness to his own things because he becomes a different person. And
yeah, you just huffed because, like, yeah, it's like exhausting to try to follow.
And then he basically says, like, look, I know I've wasted your entire day by pretending I didn't do this, and now I'm admitting to it. But, like, could I get a program?
Be cool.
Can I get a program, though? Like, because, hey, I wouldn't have done these things if I wasn't addicted to crack cocaine.
Can I get into a program, though?
And then here we have Sipowicz and Sorensen letting him know that this guy got away with conspiracy to commit murder.
And, you know, Sipowicz is handling it, you know, well.
Well, because the dude is pretending like, or maybe he doesn't, he's doing like, don't hold your chest like Sanford and Son. He's like, who is Sanford and Son? And Sid was like, I'm going to beat the shit out of you.
We get it. You're young. Roar.
We get it. You don't know my references. God damn it.
Oh, man.
But it's also like, it would be hilarious if, like, because there's two different ways to see this. Like, maybe this guy doesn't know what's going on, and that woman is, like, just kind of made up the whole thing. Or he is a criminal mastermind, and he just got away with murder. And he's just, like, singing his way outside the station.
He could be. We'll never know. Hey, I guess we'll never know.
Well, actually, we will by the end of this episode. Fun fact.
Spoiler.
Spoilers.
Wow, good move. Idiot.
So this woman comes in who has the dead twin. And she has a moment with John. And John lets her know that sometimes she doesn't have to identify under certain circumstances. And he's like, I will see if we can make that happen for you. And then she asks him to be released to the, asks her sister to be released to the Jonas Brothers funeral parlor. And it's like, wow, a lot of revenue streams.
Whoa.
A lot of revenue streams for those kids.
Dang. So music is just a side gig for them. Okay.
Well, what's so weird, they had to open it up when their music was putting people to death. Ah, because they suck.
Kirk, they're only human. Come on.
Is that one of their songs?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know.
Don't be such a sucker, bro.
Fuck you. So this weird part.
That, their song. I will say this though. Their song Year 3000 used to play a lot at Trader Joe's.
Uh-huh.
And after a while, that song is banging.
I'm sure. That's called Stockholm Syndrome. But I love this scene because this guy's like, oh my gosh, I just saw the dead woman. And then Jones is like, she's a twin. And he's like, he wants me to earn my first miracle. And it's like, what does that fucking mean?
He's a crackhead. What do you mean? What does that mean? What do we ask? He's a crackhead.
But the Jones should have been like, oh, you think so? Because that woman works here. And then watch him like face light up. It's like, fuck with the crackhead. Don't tell him the truth. He already is crazy.
Yeah, but if you ask and if you ask things and get him to show how crazy he really is, then you can't you're screwed in court, you know.
Here we have a pissed off Sipowicz who literally goes, he's like, "Oh, do you think we have a chance to turn the cousin?" He's like, "No." Like, just so short and pissed off. And then when he walks away, he's like, "You see how he avoided the vitamin subjects? Like, it was 6 years ago. Six. 6 years."
And then here comes Anthony.
Anthony's selling chocolate, a.k.a. information, because he ain't no rat.
But, okay, I'm sorry. I sold chocolate when I was younger.
You only did that to give out information?
Why is his chocolate wrapped in aluminum foil like that?
Because there's nothing in it. It's fucking...
No, but he says he has different flavors.
What's so weird is...
How does he know all of this information?
Because he says that Teresa the maid came and told him when she was feeling guilty. Because apparently Luciano told the maid that he killed his first wife in Italy. And now he plans to take the money he's going to get off the dead wife now to take the maid to Italy with him. But what I don't understand...
I'm sorry. He just says the phrase, "Locking a guy up is locking a guy up, Andy."
But what I don't understand is... He comes in, he's like, "I'm selling chocolate because I'm not a rat." Then he gives them all the information. They could just be like, "Hey, fuck off now. You told us the info. We don't need to buy the chocolate." Like, what's the point?
Yeah, but you buy the chocolate out of respect.
And also, he also mentioned that he's 27 years old. Also, he's selling Mets memorabilia, which is, that part was weird. You like Marv Thornberry?
Well, no, like, so, like, you would see it after games and shit, like, people selling stuff on the side of the road.
Yeah.
In New York, I don't know why it is, but, like, there are just certain spots where, like, it's not what it used to be, but, like, there are certain spots on Canal where it's, like, they're just a lady walking around with, like, basically, like, a folder of, like, what is that called?
Baseball cards?
Laminated sheets of pictures of purses, like, high-end purses.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you tell them which one you want, and then, like, they take you somewhere and they get it. But it's, like, it's not that purse. It's a, like, a remake. Or not a remake, but it's, like, a knockoff.
Yeah.
And so, like, that's a New York thing, I feel like. Like, it's all over here. Like, you can find knockoff memorabilia shit all the time.
So, I love this. This is proof that Medavoy never lets anything go. Because he's complaining about the practical joke that Sipowicz pulled on him, which wasn't on him, and says, "We're not going to be partners if you ever pull a practical joke on me." And then fucking Jones was like, "Hey, have you lost weight?" He's like, "Yeah, a little." He's like, "Because it shows." And then Medavoy's like, "Okay, thanks. But don't ever pull a practical joke on me.
Don't ever have fun with me, all right?
I might bring it up 6 years later. Years." Years later.
And I'll only bring it up when you bring it up.
It was, oh goddamn. So this episode, I'm gonna be honest, didn't really like it. I thought it was okay. I don't hate it, but I didn't love it.
It's not a great one.
I think the pacing, yeah, and some of the decisions were weird.
Like, there are some good, again, there are some good pockets, I feel like. There are some good things that happen. There are some good moments, like good acting moments and stuff. But for the most part, I think it's pretty shitty. But it is what it is.
Yeah, I think the guest stars did pretty well. Ali Me? Alimi Ballard, who played Marcus. I think he did a great job. Amy Aquino.
Aquino speaker.
And Richard Libertini was Luciano.
Oh, that's his name? I didn't even know that was his name.
Richard Libertini. And he did all right. I think he's supposed to be... I think he's supposed to be a pretty aggravating character. And he does a great job. But yeah. It was decent guest stars, but just, you know, not my fave.
Do we think that they actually, like, called, like, the Roman or, like, the Italian police?
I think they did.
And,
because of how pissed off Sipowicz was, I'm pretty sure he was fucking on that shit like the Bucci case. Like, I think he was thinking about chasing that dude down in Italy himself. Because he was pissed.
Fair.
But yeah, that's Lucky Luciano.
Thank you for listening to this episode of NYPD Blue Balls. If you have a moment, please rate and review the show on whatever platform you're using to listen to it. I would appreciate it. If you just need more NYPD Blue in your life, there's a couple of books out there. True Blue, written about the first couple seasons. There's What Would Sipowicz Do, a collection of articles about the show. There's Gene Kendall's An Unofficial Guide to NYPD Blue that's on Amazon for 99 cents. There's also these two kind of side stories. One called Blue Beginnings, another one called Blue Blood. I have read both. They're interesting. I'll probably end up talking about them on the show. Not soon, but I will eventually. We're on Twitter at Asher Bros Pod. We're on Instagram at Asher Brothers Podcast, mostly mentioning when new episodes of the podcast are coming out, which is every other Tuesday. And slight announcement, Kyle is making his way back to the West Coast, which means episodes might take place in the same room again fairly soon. Have a good one. Peace.